Little Rock's Police Chief Kenton Buckner is reaching his second anniversary on the job. With crime rates at their lowest in decades and use of force incidents dropping in the city, I spoke with Buckner about his views on policing, race, use of force, and his goals for Little Rock.
I believe that technology has caught up with some of our misdeeds. Technology has exposed some of the corruption in law enforcement. There are folks, citizens, or even chiefs, or people in this profession who are acting as if some of the acts that we have recently been exposed to are new. We must be reminded that the Rodney King occurred in 1993. Black and brown communities have been complaining about this treatment for decades. The iPhone and iPads have just caught up with these complaints. So I think that first we have to walk to the podium and accept responsibility for some of the harm that we've caused our communities. I think the community also needs to be mindful of the vast majority of our police officers are professional and do a great job, but then chiefs have to be willing to say that there's probably a small percentage of our agencies who should not be wearing our badge and uniform. I think technology with the own body cameras is something that I believe that will drastically change our profession. You immediately have somewhat of an independent witness that will be able to give an account for what has happened. While it is not a perfect tool, I think it will be an effective tool. But we also must be mindful that it does not always capture everything. So it's certainly not a penicillin pill for the problems that we have.
In our last conversation, you spoke about historic scars in Little Rock from police-involved shootings, especially those involving members of minority communities. Recently, the department settled a lawsuit brought by the sons of former Officer Eugene Ellison, an elderly black man shot by two white off-duty police officers in his home. Do you think the resolution of this case is an example of the department and community coming to terms over a historic scar?
I think that it's an example of how a critical incident can divide our community. Policing is a very difficult profession, and that is increasing by the day. The level of scrutiny that we're under makes it very, very challenging, but I think that we certainly have to admit when there are opportunities for improvement. There's no secret that much of the crime in our community, specifically violent crime, is in concentrated areas that are occupied by minorities. That incident that occurred in 2010 certainly was divisive to our community and our police department. So to be able to effectively bring that to a resolution to where everyone felt that they were shown dignity and respect is certainly a step in the right direction to healing our community.
So I think in our last conversation, we talked about stop and frisk policies, and you were concerned about that kind of mass approach to policing. Is that something that the department aggressively pursues or considers pursuing as an approach?
In my opinion, stop and frisk type initiatives are counterproductive as relates to community and police relationships, and they offer a very fragile, hollow, short-term success for dealing with crime. You go into a community and you have these stop and frisk initiatives and you have these high number of citations or stops that you have, but the fact of the matter is you're alienating 95% of the community in your attempts to pursue that 5%.
And I know you've repeatedly told community members you want more accountability from them. I've heard you say that in different meetings and forums. What does that mean to you, and when do you think it's appropriate to ask for that?
There are what I would call common denominator socioeconomical factors that are the ingredients or kind of the genesis of crime-infested communities. Poverty, low academic achievement, minimal to no parental involvement in education, single-parent homes, substance abuse, mental illness. All of those things become a cocktail for destruction in the community. You cannot expect the police to fix those things. Public safety is what we do. Public safety is what we're resource for. Public safety is why we were designed. And these social issues that plague these communities, there are many other folks that will have to be at the table to be able to address some of those things to have sustained success. Public safety is not a spectator sport. The police are not going to change your community. Change comes from the people. New facilities that we're building all over the community, that's not going to change the community. Change comes from the people. If you as a parent don't think that it's that anything is wrong with your 14-year-old kid being out at 2 o'clock in the morning, then there's nothing that the police is going to be able to do to save that child. If you don't think it's important to go to your child's parent-teacher conference, there's nothing that we can do to change the trajectory of that child. So the people are going to have to get engaged in what's going on in the community, take a very intimate role in public safety, specifically in their homes first, where I believe many of these things start. And when we do that, I think you're less likely to need enforcement, and then we can begin to build bridges to these common destinations that we all aspire to have.
Chief Buckner, thanks so much for coming, and we really appreciate it.
Thank you.